Greetings, Cybercast community. You're about to dive into an exclusive recording from the Nordic Baltic Security Summit 2024, hosted by NeverHack Estonia. Cybercast is here to keep enthusiasts, experts, and anyone interested in cyber in the loop. Enjoy the episode? Please like, comment, and tell us what you think. All right, it's time to get started. Let's dig in. Play the recording. We are at the Nordic Baltic Security Summit, and this is our podcast track. On this episode, we are talking about a pressing topic with a lawyer. The topic of our discussion runs along the lines with, where and how can I use AI? People and organizations are facing that question more and more. Some organizations are outright banning the use of AI, others don't care, for now at least. It is a somewhat controversial topic. To understand the legal side of it, we have invited Henry Ratnik from Viden to answer some of the questions. So, hello, Henry.
Hello. Thanks for the invitation. Nice to be here.
So, Henry, who are you? Who are you? And what do you do?
That is the philosophical question. My name is Henry. I'm a lawyer, attorney at law, actually. And I'm the co-head of the IT/IP law group at Viden Legal Estonia. We are a law firm. We operate in Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. And one interesting thing about us is that we call ourselves the legal jazz company. While every law firm in this world says that they are the best law firm in the world, then we don't say it because we know it. And we define us as the legal jazz company because we listen to the client, we play well together. If necessary, we improvise, think on our feet, and that's it.
What is your main field of expertise that you are involved in daily basis?
I mainly do tech law, so everything that's related to technology. For example, if you are a crazy or non-crazy startupper in the tech field and you have an idea which is worth $1 billion and you don't really know whether it complies with the laws and how to do it, then I'm the legal wizard who can help you out, understand the laws, what needs to be done, is it even legal, and I also do contracts and this kind of stuff.
So just to be on the right page, give us some kind of example. So give us a case that you have been working with that you can talk about.
Cases are confidential, and
yes,
this is the answer that you wanted to hear. But I can drop some names of our clients in the tech field. For example, we have been working together with Starship for a long time, Bolt, Ready Player Me, Unibet, UtaCredit, to name a few. So these are some of the clients from the tech sector. And what we usually do is contracts, disputes, analysis, whatever the clients need.
Actually, I think there has been, at least globally, quite a few court cases that were involving AI and were also published in news. I think one of those was the Canadian Airline chatbot.
Yes, Canadian Airline chatbot. That was the public interface. It was a customer service provider functionality that wasn't actually a person, that was AI, and that bot fantasized rules for a customer.
Yeah, I think it promised to give some return policy or refunds that weren't actually in the policy. But okay, this was kind of the one example about the cases about AI. You are in this field consistently. Can you name any other examples?
Yeah, I will actually a few words about this case. This is kind of interesting. So what happened in this case was that Canadian Air had a policy that if you want to travel by their plane and someone close to you has just passed away, so for example, you're flying to a funeral, then they had a policy of discounts. Mm-hmm. And one person wanted to go to a funeral. He went to the Canadian Air website. He found a chatbot there. And he asked the chatbot, do you have any kind of policy when I'm in grief and I want to go to a funeral? And then the chatbot answered, yes, we do. And the chatbot answered that you can have a discounted policy when you are still purchasing the ticket. So you haven't purchased it, but you are purchasing it right now. Mm-hmm. So apply some kind of code or something like that. Or when you have already purchased the ticket, so you can submit the ticket and get some kind of a refund. Mm-hmm. So like a discounted policy backwards. And so he bought the ticket, wanted to get a discounted refund, and he didn't get it. Because when he actually read the policy himself afterwards, the policy said that you cannot get any refund after you have already purchased the ticket. So you cannot get it afterwards, mm-hmm. only if you are still buying the ticket. And this person went to the small claims court, wanted to get the refund because chatbot said that it's possible. And Canadian Airlines was like, hell no, we are not doing it. You use the chatbot, we are never liable for chatbot. This is not the same legal entity. Mm-hmm. It is AI, whatever. And Canadian Air lost.
Yes.
Because the court said that, hey, Canadian Airlines, it's your website, it's your chatbot. If the chatbot is talking crazy, then you are liable for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But this is quite like a small case stuff. There have been bigger cases as well. For example, one of the like landmark cases in the US was back in 2018 when the Uber self-driving car killed a person. Mm-hmm. So Uber was testing, I believe it was in Arizona State, was testing new self-driving cars. So it was like a regular car, Volvo something. It had the self-driving capabilities built in on top of the roof. And Uber hired persons to be on the driver's seat to monitor the car, if necessary, you know, drive,
yeah.
push the brake pedal and stuff. And what happened is that one of those drivers that they hired actually didn't pay any attention. This person, he was watching The Voice mm-hmm. on his mobile phone, like mm-hmm. third of the time when he was behind the wheel. And then it was dark, out of the blue, person came, there was no pedestrian crosswalk, person came with a bike, and there is actually videos online about it. Person came with a bike and the car ran her over. And
yeah,
she was killed. Yeah, the death.
Mm-hmm. Serious. Huh?
And then was the age-old question, who is responsible? Mm-hmm. Is it Uber? Because the self-driving technology was...
Uber's?
Yeah, it was Uber's and it was clearly not that mm-hmm. good.
Was it the car?
Was it the car? Was it the person, the driver? No. Or was it the jaywalker, the person crossing the road mm-hmm. in dark, in wrong place, out of the blue? Mm-hmm. And in the end, of course, Uber paid a lot of money mm-hmm. to the victim. Rightfully so. And what happened is that the driver pleaded guilty because it was the driver's job
to press the brake.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Even though if you have a like self-driving capability car with an AI, then if you're a driver, you have to pay attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think both of those cases kind of highlight that the AI isn't something in itself. It's a tool. And tools sometimes need
fail. Sometimes fail. Yeah.
That too. But some of the tools also need some kind of regulation. And what has like European Union done for regulating the AI?
European Union is kind of front runner in that sense. They claim that actually it happened. They published a new EU AI act. So it's a long act regulating AI in the European Union, and they say that it's like the first of its kind, first such a long act regulating AI in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't talk about intellectual property. It doesn't talk much about liability. It doesn't handle cases like Uber's case or something like that, but it says that if you are a developer of an AI system, then you have to follow certain rules. And its purpose in general is to help AI to become more like an everyday thing, so people would trust it, but also set a lot of rules for AI developers. For example, some AI systems will be forbidden. In China, for example, what's happening is that they are using social scoring system. So every citizen, based on their behavior, has a score. For example, you do not ever cross the road in the wrong place. You don't smoke, you don't drink any beer. If you eat healthy, you get a score of 100. But second person is doing all of this stuff, is not paying taxes, he gets 20 points. So this kind of stuff based on AI in the EU is forbidden.
Yes.
And then there are also some other systems which are forbidden. For example, if law enforcement cannot use biometric tracking system on CCTV cameras, this is also forbidden in the EU from the EU Act. And so some AI cases are forbidden. And then there are a lot of other AI systems which are not forbidden, but for which a certain amount of rules will apply. For example, there will be rules for self-driving cars, rules for using AI in the medicine, using AI in education. For example, if an AI system will give your children some grades, this will be regulated by the AI. And the most of these obligations, what they say is that the AI developers must register their system in the database. They must keep logs of the system. They must have some kind of risk management to the system, and so on. And the third category, so there are like different categories of AI systems. The third category is like less risky AI systems. So not forbidden systems, not self-driving cars, but you know, like ChatGPT and stuff and chatbots and stuff. For example, deepfakes also. Deepfakes will have an obligation when the deepfake AI system is used that there is some kind of watermark on the deepfake image or video, so everybody would know that it's a deepfake, not a real one. And chatbots also, they must have a disclaimer that the person, for example, if you're using the Air Canada chatbot, the chatbot must notify you that the person is talking with a chatbot. It's not a real person. So this kind of like a disclosure rules as well. But there, the number of rules that will come out of it is a long sum, and we will... if we go into deep with them, then we will be here for 8 hours.
Yeah, but just like a high-level glance, to like four categories of services, let's say.
Basically, four categories of services. If you are an AI developer, you are working in the EU, or you are like pushing your services into EU's customers, then you should figure out what kind of a... in which category your AI system falls into and what kind of obligations you will have. That's the important question.
The AI and more of those large language models are actually a pretty new thing. Like, it wasn't a long time ago when ChatGPT came out, and I think this was the time when the AI came into the general public. And after that, the regulation was this. AI Act was compiled. How was it done, and can you like open somewhat based on what those kind of criterias for the AIs were developed?
Mm-hmm. So the EU wants to be a front runner in that sense. They want to support the economy in that sense. So AI developers would have some kind of rules, fair playground rules for everybody. But yet again, they want to protect the people living in the EU. So there was really some kind of transparency rules and liability rules and sort of stuff. But there are a bunch of stuff that the AI Act doesn't regulate. It doesn't talk about intellectual property. Why is intellectual property important? And that's a good question. For example, there is an interesting case going on in the US. It is a claim from New York Times and a lot of other newspapers in the US against OpenAI / Microsoft. And the claim is that the New York Times is claiming that OpenAI used a bunch of articles, like millions of articles from New York Times and similar newspapers to build their AI. And the OpenAI never asked the consent, never paid any money, to New York Times and so on. Therefore, it's all forbidden. And they're claiming that the articles were used to build their AI better, and therefore they should pay a lot of money now to New York Times, and basically they should destroy the system itself. There isn't still any court decision. When it will come, it will be very interesting. Most likely, I think OpenAI will just pay up the money, so the case would go away. But that's the problem with building AI, is that you need content. You need content to build it better.
You need data.
You need data. So are you going to ask consent from the data providers or the newspaper or newspapers to build the AI?
Impossible.
Yeah, it takes a lot of time. You have to pay a lot of money. They probably will not give you the consent, so you will possibly build it illegally. And if you are too big to fail, then you're too big to fail.
So, but still, people want to use the AI. And from the organizational perspective, could you enlighten us, like, what kind of questions should company ask before they decide to implement AI in their product or in their use?
So what would be the thought process like for an organization to ask whether to allow or deny, block AI usage?
Yeah, that's a good question. So imagine you have a company, you have a bunch of people working in your company, and you think that, maybe let's use ChatGPT. Let's make everybody ChatGPT users so they can use it in their everyday lives. You know, do some calculations, write some email text, and so on. The first thing that you have to do is you have to read the terms of use. It is the...
What are those? Oh, I agree button there. Yes.
Yeah, the I agree button. Nobody wants to read it because it's freaking long. It's freaking boring. And just scroll and click accept.
Maybe let the AI analyze that. So.
Yeah, that's a conflict of interest. But you have to read it because there are a bunch of stuff that you have to understand based on that. First of all, you have to understand for what the AI is actually liable for. So if you, for example, you use your accountant, you let your accountant to use the ChatGPT for calculating payments, like wages to your employees. And the accountant uses the AI. The AI makes a mistake. The AI says that for that person, let's say that person's wage is 3,000 euros a month. But actually AI does the calculation wrong and says 100,000 euros. So you end up in a quite a large damages because you have paid too much money to that employee. And you wonder, is the AI liable for that mistake? And to get that answer, you have to read the terms of use. Because, for example, if you read the OpenAI's terms of use, it says that, actually, question for you, what do you think? What is the liability cap of...
So I think it's all up to the user. They won't take anything.
They are liable, but they are liable up to $100.
Aha.
So if the AI makes a mistake that is worth $1 million, $500 or whatever, then they are still liable only up to $100.
So
that's crazy.
It would be a class act then. So we would all put all the mistakes together and it would add up to $100.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a way to do it. But the liability definitely. And another thing is confidentiality. Read the terms to understand whether they handle your data confidentially or not. Or maybe they're using the data that you put into the machine to make the machine better. So that's a question as well.
Are your customers actually asking those questions for you, or is it something that they don't know yet?
They are starting asking those questions. So when I'm trying to think about the questions, there are two types of questions. First of all, questions that customers ask when they want to use the AI, for example, ChatGPT in their organization. But I would say that even more interesting and bigger are the questions from the AI developers regarding the AI Act that we discussed beforehand. So the questions that they are asking is that, hey Henry, we're building a new AI machine. Can we do it? What kind of obligations do we have? Do we have to talk to the regulators? That is the main question here. So what do they have to do under that?
Mm-hmm. But what are the kind of big questions there? Kind of broad.
I guess the first question is, can you? Mm-hmm. Is it allowed? Mm-hmm. And if it is allowed, then what do I have to do? What kind of procedures do I have to have? What kind of risk management I have to do, and so on. So basically, it's a compliance question. How mm-hmm. can I do it in order not to go to jail? Because as a last thought, if you infringe the AI Act from the EU, then the fines are quite salty. The fines are up to 35 million or 7% of the annual turnover of the company, whichever is larger. So, for example, if you have a Microsoft or Facebook infringing the AI Act, then they get, for example, 100 million or billion euros of fine. So we're talking about big numbers.
I think one last question. Your personal opinion, should we use AI at workplace or not?
100 times yes. We cannot stop the innovation. We have to use it because it helps to do our jobs more faster, more efficiently. But we should know the rules. We should know and understand and acknowledge the risks with the AI. And if we know them and then we take a decision to use it, then it's all good.
Thank you for that.
Thank you. I think this nice thought, we can end this session. Actually, do we have any questions? I will refresh. Quick pause. And unfortunately not. Thank you, Henri, for coming and sharing this time with us.